Hi, and welcome to the They Call Me the Ghost podcast, a podcast for those looking for good stories, looking for adventure. Today's episode is hiding in the Mariana Trench for centuries. Their plan is to invade. There was a time they were banished from the surface, but they are slowly working their way back. Narrated by me, the ghost, each and every time. Let's get started. Hello, it's the ghost. Welcome to your weekly dose of the real world, where truth is stranger than fiction and things are not always as they seem. Wouldn't it be great if when you saw an issue or something was bothering you, you could just take care of it right then and there? But it doesn't always work out that way, does it? Something I'm sure we all can't stand are those nagging issues that just will not go away. It's irritating. But what if it was more than irritating? What if it was something to be aware of? Something really serious, a looming threat, a constant on your mind, and not a new one. One that's always been there. You feel close to it in a way, but you just can't take it down. It would go beyond irritating and could enter a level of maddening. When I am called into this job, it's not something new. It's an old issue that unfortunately those of us that have dealt with it are all too familiar with. They call me the ghost. I was an agent for the CIA, but today I'm an independent operative working on the side of the mysterious and unbelievable. And today is the story of a fight that continues and a threat that continues to grow. Take a listen. And enjoy. With the work I do, I meet a lot of different people, although most I only know while I'm on a certain job. There are some that I stay in contact with, and I'm just talking about the requesters here. It's very rare that I would actually stay in contact with anyone beyond that, although I do check in with them sometimes after a job is done. This job came to me from one of my networked contacts, a requester that asked for my services on another job, having to do with all of this. This being those beings that we hear about in conspiracy theories, stories, and other tales. But those are just stories. This was a job. A job dealing with what we like to call the lizard people, the walking reptilians of the reptilian nation. We will call them in this story the Lounge, since that's how you would refer to a group of lizards. And I'm going to tell you guys right from the get-go here that there was a lot to this job, and I'm going to do my best to fit in as much as I can in our normal time. These beings that are on a never-ending quest to take over what we have built, they are, in their natural form, taller. They're coloring a mix of greens. They're covered in scales, usually portrayed with colored eyes and tails. This is not my first job dealing with them, although all we've been able to do so far is keep them at bay, stop what we can from moving forward. And this has happened more than once. Each time, they take it up a notch. I guess waiting and working on this for thousands of years can make you a bit antsy. But okay, I am contacted by Thatcher, and you might have heard of him before. If not, he's a man I've worked with before on this very subject. He's a part of a group that looks out for and investigates potential threats to our world. And they work to pull together whoever they need and whatever they need that fits the job to get things done. He conveys to me the seriousness, and he doesn't really need to include any details because I know that if I get a request from him, it is a big deal. The team and I are immediately on alert, and once again, I meet him at his private home, like I did the last time, out on the East Coast. Thatcher has seen a world of behind the scenes over and over again. His view of what the world is, how vulnerable it is very different than any average person. And I just have to tell you guys this. You don't get to meet a guy like Thatcher of this caliber, you know, his tenacity, very often. Not everyone will get this chance. But if you want to talk motivation, even the best motivational speaker would have nothing on this guy. If you are around him and work with him, you're going to want to work and work even harder. It makes you appreciate the life you have even more because you learned so much about things going on, and it pushes you to do and be more. Now, this job will be nothing like a motivational retreat or anything, but I'm just saying, the guy's pretty incredible. I could only wish, though, that there weren't any problems that were causing him to get a hold of me at that time. But obviously, something was going on. The lounge is fixated on the merge. This was their new and main goal after all these years, a lot of years. They couldn't take us over, because let's face it, we do deserve some credit here. We as a species, a people, a race, however you want to look at it, are no dummies either. Not really. And our fight is pretty good, I have to say. So it became all about the merge, blend with us instead of a full takeover. You know, if you can't beat them, join them sort of mentality. Build a new group of us. There would be them, of course, in their big plan, a lounge of many walking around with us. There would be some of us, still us, how nice of them to let us still exist as we are. And then there would be the mixed breeds, the human hybrids, and those would be the bred elites, the ones above it all, whatever that would look like. We, however, as plain and simple humans, would end up taking a second seat to those guys. Thatcher tells me how much stopping them the last time bought some very good time. The lounge is relentless, though. When our job ended, Thatcher's job continued as he trailed them. Says they were beyond angry that their plans and elevation ceremonies were canceled and destroyed. Those are ceremonies that further immerse their targets into their way of being, physical and otherwise. Thatcher's group refers to the members of the lounge that are on the surface interacting with us as the surface dwellers. Those that stay underground and in the catacombs would be the subs, the subterranean. But so that's all okay. But then where is everyone else? Where are the rest of them? Because he knows there are more of them. When the small group of leaders came down the last time, they came from a ship from space. This ship and its permanent crew kept watch on the things happening from up there. And now, although we have beat them at some things, and we can be a strong competition and put up a good fight to them, there are some areas we're not so good, and space travel is one of them. We feel good because we can keep an eye on our enemies here on Earth, right? While other beings are out there watching their enemies and targets from space. And the lounge is one of those groups. They have us beat on that one. And that is how they came to Earth in the first place. Getting to the leaders doing their deeds in Chinatown, which if you don't know, is where we ended up putting an end to their operation the last time when we worked with Thatcher. And it was great, but there were others. There were levels of leaders, and Thatcher was convinced that the ones we met were not the ones at the top. The lounge has done a great job so far staying out of the way, keeping things moving, and so they are doing something right. I mean, it's no assumption by anyone that we are dealing with a less than intelligent group or race here. And I already know that some of you might be thinking, hey, look, okay, these guys have been coming around probably longer than we have been around. So what's the problem? Why haven't they taken us over already? Why can't they just come in and do us in right here and now? Well, it's not as easy as that. You have to remember that this is a group that is where they are and have been for centuries and then some. They have sustained and maintained a certain life and means of survival. We're not talking about a few of them on a trip. They have a population. There are a lot of them. And they have leaders, just like we do. It's not every single one of them that thinks they're just going to walk into our world, come up to the surface, and take over anyone and everyone they see. The way Thatcher has come to see it is that it's always been a mission. But it's not talked about with every single member of that population every single day. There may be a lot of them, but it's not like they're all standing by to pounce. Then there's the question, well, why didn't they just take us out a long time ago? Someone asked that. When we didn't have all the weapons that we do now and things like that. And this is a great question, because it would have been easy, wouldn't it? Sounds like it would. But we did survive many things back in those days. It's not like we were just sitting ducks hanging around on the farm all day. We as people did know how to fight back. We have our own wars and battles to show for that. Some of us lost, and some of those stories get lost in our legends and folklore, like so much of everything does. Again, they would be dealing with our leaders and the people they need to get past. Well, they tried that and failed. Hence, their new approach of infecting our population. In our historical studies, even before those days for us, we see them depicted on cave walls and other art. The challenge has been here for a long time, and over that time, their approach has morphed and changed, and they learned more about us, and we were constantly growing and changing. They had to keep up with that as well. If you didn't hear the other stories, just know that this all started out with them wanting to make a place for themselves here, having just escaped the dangers of their own home. It's not like they hit the ground ready for battle. And we apparently worshipped them for quite a while, so why would they want to mess with that? And then it all just continues. Today and for a while now, they no longer want our worship or to take us over. They feel they can get more out of it, blend and create a new, almost noble group to run the planet. And if they couldn't get to our leaders, then why not work their way into the people? I mean, can I explain it all? No, I cannot. If I could just sit down and chat with them for a good solid week or something, maybe I could get their full history and explanation. But that's not really going to happen. We can only put together what we can from the information that we get. Anyway, that's why they're working in the hot spots, like LA and Washington. And they've changed too along the way, by the way. I think it was even in the last video that I did, or sometime very recently, I talk about how we assume that just because a type of being comes from somewhere else, they are perfect. Obviously, they're smarter than us, and all their stuff is just cool. For them to just walk onto Earth and take over everything would mean that you are assuming that they were capable of doing so simply because they came from somewhere else. It might surprise you, but we are also a challenge. A lot of the time I will hear people talking or I'll read things that are going around and people discuss how the human race is somehow below everything else. It's not as smart, not as capable. And that is simply not true. There are some things we are ahead in, some things we are behind in. We learned a lot about a lot of that stuff from Phoenix and those alien partners that have helped us just as much as we've helped them on certain things. Just because the lounge could get here doesn't mean they know all about it or the best way to get to us. We weren't even a target for them in the beginning. Earth itself was never really a goal. They were fine where they were, but the situation didn't work out, so they found themselves here. It was an escape that landed them here. They would have to acclimate, adapt, find a home, build a presence, and that all takes work and time. And I'm not sure about you, but I feel very confident that if there was some sort of alien presence here that wanted to take over everything and had the absolute capability of doing so, it would have happened by now. So that tells us that we still have a chance. Now, back to these guys. We know about the caves and catacombs, and those things sound and seem obvious. They've also tracked some rogue members living and moving about in some of our city's oldest tunnels and things like that. And although we've looked at different islands and places off the grid, we never have found their home base. But that's changed, Thatcher says. And then he just comes out with it. He says they are in the Western Pacific. And then in a louder voice, he says that they are deep down in the Mariana Trench. We're sitting there talking at his desk in a study in his house, and he gets up and he starts talking about how brilliant it all is. Of course, he says, they're hiding right in front of us, yet somewhere we are not, a place we never really see. We have had people go down into the Mariana Trench and they have found interesting things. Think 1960. And then think 2012 and James Cameron. You know him. He's the guy that you can thank for movies like Avatar, The Abyss, and Titanic. He wanted the adventure. Says he's an explorer. And he had the money. Not everyone will get that chance to go down there. It's deeper than Mount Everest, is tall. The thing is enormous. So Thatcher's telling me all of this, and I'm hearing all of this. And I don't even ask any questions at this point. I'm not sure I even want to know what's coming next. But sure enough, he validates my assuming thoughts. He tells me that this mission not only has to do with the lounge invading our world, it will involve us going into their territory. And yes, that means traveling down into the Mariana Trench. I've traveled to far-off places before, really far, but somehow going down deep into the Mariana Trench is not something I really had on my bucket list, okay? It's kind of funny because I've dealt with the lounge before and I can believe that they exist and all of that. But what I'm questioning in my mind at that moment is how we're going to actually get down there and be able to figure anything out, be down there long enough and move around. Thatcher can see the questions all over my face and he tells me that they've already made headway in all of that. And that's how they actually found them in the first place. During the years that Thatcher had been involved with this, and even before that, we, and by we here, guys, I mean the people working on this on the side of us. Obviously, we in this case cannot be all of us on this planet. But we have worked to do anything we can to be on these guys, if not ahead of them, at least in line with them to be what's in their way when they're trying to get something done. And we have been very effective. We have been a good roadblock. And then Thatcher starts talking about submarines. And we have subs. You all know this. You can find a lot of information on the submarines that we have. But there are some things that are kept secret. Even Cameron worked with engineers in secret on his sub. And it was the same for Thatcher and his crew. They have worked on this for 6 years, building the perfect vessel to follow where they believe this population resides, which is unbelievably located in the depths of the Mariana Trench. He tells me that although their sub has not been sent down with anyone actually on it, they have tested it, unmanned. They also have some photos and footage from those trips. So there we are. And, I mean, unless this turns out to be something that just cannot be done, I always take the jobs that Thatcher comes to me for. They are dealing with our world, and anything with that, to me, is worth protecting. Thatcher and I talk for a while longer, and then it's time to get going. I call into the warehouse, and it will be the entire team that will meet with us. In order for us to get a grip on what all this is, we need to go to where Thatcher's base is for this project, where they work out of on all of this. I can't divulge our exact location, but you can look on a map if you don't know where the deepest known place on Earth is, the Mariana Trench. We're headed over by Guam and the Mariana Islands, and that's enough about that. But anyway, it's not like we can just zip over there and be there in the morning. We have prep to do. It takes some time. Thatcher's team is standing by. They're ready for us whenever we get there. And when we do, we're welcomed and we're impressed. We walked into a very fine-tuned operation. There was a lot going on. The base that we were at is on the water, clearly. We've got ships, different piers, aircraft carriers, hangars, the works. We end up meeting with about a dozen people. Thatcher stands at the end of the table addressing the group, but really us. Without going into all the details of his many travels tracking down the lounge members and where they go after a visit, he tells us what they discovered. And these aren't the ones here that are on the surface permanently, pretty much. You know, the ones that are working with us, interacting with us, trying to merge with us. I mean, Thatcher knows where they are. For this, he's referring to the lounge members that come in every now and then to check on how things are going, have meetings, things like that. Remember, he's looking for the ones in charge, not those sent in to do work a little bit at a time. He is able to track the visitors, and he tells us that it led him to the ocean, specifically the Western Pacific. And at first, it was a little bit confusing. I mean, surely they didn't have an entire population spread out over the sea in different ships or something hiding out. But at first, it sort of seemed like that's what it could be. After catching on to their sea travels, though, Thatcher's group was able to lock onto them, and his group followed the lounge higher-ups. Well, the ship they followed did not go to meet other ships. It did not go to an island. It didn't go anywhere, technically. It just went out to the middle of nowhere, and it sat there for a while. The team knew where they were. They were directly over the Mariana Trench, but who would think that really that would have to do with anything? And they were aware of it, but their first thought certainly wasn't that the lounge and the trench were connected. Thatcher's team stayed out of the way, but kept an eye on them. As more hours ticked by, they almost started to think that maybe there was nothing that was going to happen. Maybe this is where they went to have other meetings, where no one else would be around, or something like that. But then, this large black vessel surfaced. This vessel came out of nowhere. There was nothing around. It just came up out of the water. It was all black with yellow lights flashing. It was right next to the ship that they were watching. And then some sort of upper hatch opened, and the lounge members that the team was tracking dropped into this black vessel, and minutes later, it was gone. The ship that they traveled on to get to this location takes off. It goes back in the direction from which it came. With them out of the way, Thatcher's team then moves in and tries to find this black vessel. Using their advanced radar and sonar capabilities, anything they have, they do end up finding it, but as soon as they do, they then watched it disappear right before their eyes into the depths. They were almost in shock. Where was this thing going? Maybe there were a ton of little vessels, just enough under the surface that they could hide. Maybe that was it. They were working on a sub that could go anywhere in the ocean. They just didn't know that they would use it for this right then, but they thought it would be the perfect time to test it. They would send it down unmanned, set up the cameras and things just to see if they could try to find anything down there and try to find where this vessel went. The long torpedo sub was set up with cameras all around it, and they would send it down as far as they had to until they found something. Thatcher then breaks out the footage and images from his trip that they were able to capture. He had a large folder full of photographs, but first he breaks out some video. With the cameras able to go off in all different directions, like I said, they were on tethers, he really did get some great stuff, and we were floored by what we saw. There were black metal structures that almost seemed like they were floating. It was a little hard to get a good view of what it would be like to be there since we were looking through the camera's eyes. But we saw the structures, and they were together in a group, but they were all separated from each other, and they were lit up with colored lights. There was no life that we saw of any kind swimming around, just these what looked like floating structures. There were tall ones, round ones, ones shaped like cones. We go through a few of those videos, and then on one of them, Thatcher stops the play, and he points out some lights in the bottom right corner of the frame. And you wouldn't notice it at first as something different, and it's not like this footage is perfectly clear either, but when he points it out, sure enough, there is a big group of these lights. He makes sure we see it, and then he goes and lets the video play a bit further. Then he stops it again and points out this smaller black moving object. He backs that up with a photo of that black object, blown up and enhanced, and it looks like a vessel of some kind. It's black, and it's lined with yellow lights going along the side. This is the vessel his team saw above, the one that disappeared into the depths that they lost track of. Does Thatcher have proof? No, he does not, but what else would it be? He's certain that the lounge leaders were on that vessel and that this place down in the Mariana Trench is where they are, where all of them are. He sets the photographs down and turns off the video and addresses me and the team, tells us that he has come to us because he needs to send someone down there to check out what it all is. We would need to track the path of where that vessel went and where the passengers of it went. They were not out floating around or anything, so where are they? He believes that that wall of lights that we saw in the small corner of the frame means something and is something. And because this is an over-the-top secret mission, he can't send anyone that's a part of his crew. Anyone and everyone, military or otherwise, is accounted for. And because this mission is one that has to happen yet will never have happened, they need a crew that can go in that will not be missed or raise suspicions. He knows we've done deep dives before, but he also knows that this one is extreme. And we as a team, we're looking at each other. We're deep in thought, yet our thoughts are moving extremely fast. Then we just start nodding to each other. This job has to happen. There are always risks. And I trust Thatcher, and so does the team. The biggest thing here is that they haven't set anyone down in their sub. It hasn't had anyone on it. We would be the first. But the way we see it, someone has to be the first, so why not it be us? My first question is, though, how many of us would be able to go? It's one of Thatcher's team members who speaks up to that one, says he's one of the sub's designers, and explains that the sub was built for two. They're not into solo missions, especially not the ones that this is now being designed for. He tells us that we could fit three, but we would have to be extremely creative in getting in there, and we'd have to be willing to be stuck in our cramped position for almost 90 minutes. He stressed, cramped. And getting that tour of the main sub, which they call the burrow, we learned that the pilot's chamber is very small. It's not big at all. I want to cram in as many people as I can. They also have a round travel sub, and they've named that the mini, because it's a mini in size compared to the burrow. We would use this to move about once we get down to where we're going. It would use power from the burrow until we were ready to attach, at which point we would boost the mini. Then we'd only have about 6 hours, which was a lot actually, considering where we would be. And Thatcher timed all of this so that it would line up with an expected return trip by the lounge. If they stuck to their pattern, they would be sending the black vessel back anytime. For us, there's no way that we're gonna be able to fit in four people in the pilot's chamber, but after we try and try and try again, we come up with a way to fit Frankie, myself, and Jagger in that chamber. And yes, we had to be very creative. It's extremely tight. We will not be able to move. We'll be in cramped positions the entire time. We can't stretch out. We can't move our arms. We'll all be intertwined. Our legs will be bent. I mean, if you're claustrophobic, this mission is not for you. When we get into the mini, when we get down there, we will have more room. It's bigger, and one entire side of it is made of glass, so that will also give us a better view into what's around us. We have 6 cameras attached to the mini, and we have 6 more attached to the burrow. All cameras can be sent out on tethers to capture images and footage of what we find down there. The plan? Send us down on a parallel path to the lounge and follow them to wherever they're going. And it's time, and with everything set and all the details gone over, Frankie Jagger and I pile into the pilot's chamber. The next 90 minutes or so seem to take forever. And to give you an idea, nuclear subs are around somewhere around 800 feet. The deepest recorded divers, somewhere over 1,000 feet. We were past the depth of even where the Titanic finally laid to rest, which is just over 12,000 feet. Our final depth was 23,080 feet. And if you've seen pictures of the Mariana Trench, you know that it is wider at the top, smaller at the bottom, an upside down pyramid shape. And when we hit the rock, we would be just below where their setup is. That's how it was set up. We would have to work fast and then catch up to where the black vessel is. So we'd end up backtracking after we landed. So we get down there and we landed hard. And being in that small chamber and hitting the bottom like we did, it wasn't great. I mean, the 3 of us all scrunched down onto each other. But even though we were so deep, it somehow felt good to have the earth under us again, to feel that, even though we were surrounded by water everywhere else. And there was no wasting time. We were cramped. We didn't waste even a minute. And we also had to stick to our target. We opened up the hatch. We loaded up ourselves and our supplies, and then once that's closed, we could engage its power, which basically inhales a large power boost from the burrow. And it's limited on how long that power will last, which means we are limited on time as well. We set our timers that Thatcher's team gave us so that we could keep track of how long we were out and about. And we're moving fast, but we also can't help but notice where we are. And let me tell you, underwater like that, you feel like a speck of dust in a giant museum of things you've never seen before. We were tiny in comparison to our surroundings, and we felt like we were tiny. We move our way up in the mini, up the rock wall, and in not that long, we do see the lights. They're the same lights that we saw in the videos, multicolored. And as we get closer, we see the black structures. They each seem to have stilts that connect them to the rock incline of the wall below them. And as we came upon all of that, it was this weird sense that came over all of us of awe and calm. But what were these structures? It was a bit mesmerizing as we quietly floated past these things. And like all things, they were much bigger when you get up close. They looked solid. They looked strong, thick. We didn't see any doors or openings. It was like moving through a metal forest. And then we saw it, the wall of lights that was only caught on that one part of that one piece of film. We head that way, staying low and making sure that we don't go above any of the stilts. And that's when our communication with the surface goes out, which was great. I mean, we were trying to log where we were going and we had reception, but then it just cut out. So now it's really quiet, except for the 3 of us. Well, we spot the black vessel, and it's still moving along, which is great for us because that means that they're not inside yet. We didn't miss them. And now the mini was set up to suction onto this black vessel. And getting closer to it, it became obvious how small we were in compared to it, which is fine because it would help us not get noticed. As far as time goes, it took us about 7 minutes to get from our landing point to where they were. Following procedure again, we stay directly underneath the black vessel and we rise until we meet it. And hitching a ride, we approach that large lighted wall. It's lined with blue, yellow, and green lights, and it appears to be made out of some kind of metal, just like the other structures. We get closer and closer to it until part of the wall slides open. We float on in and the wall slides closed behind us. The area we're in is filled with water, but the water doesn't go all the way to the top. And the black vessel rises to the top of that. And that's about all we know at that point. I can't see directly above ourselves. We can only see a little bit in front of ourselves, which isn't really anything. So we wait until we see the 4 members exit the vessel above us. And at this point, we're not exactly sure what to do exactly. We're unfamiliar with this area and any of their patterns or behavior down here. So we just wait until we actually see them go inside this large building and we hear the large boom of the door closing behind them. At that point, we detach from their vessel and we also rise to the surface. We place ourselves as far back and away from them as we can get. and then we too unload. These guys are not fish. They didn't just get out and start swimming around. This place is sophisticated. And we have oxygen masks on that Thatcher's team gave us. But after getting to the top and seeing what this place is, watching them walk around it, Frankie takes a chance and removes his, confirming that they have this place set up with air to breathe. And they would only have that set up if they needed it. So that tells us that they are also vulnerable down here. This is their territory, but they're not all powerful. Anyway, we follow the path that we saw them take. And there are four levels of sealed doors to get through, but there are no locks. I mean, no one else would ever be down there, so apparently they don't need those. Anyway, we're able to walk right in. We go slowly through so as to not be seen or heard. We don't need that door slamming behind us either. And when we got through that door, it was crazy. We found ourselves looking at a city that made us feel like we had walked into the future. And it was endless. And it wasn't a city like we would see here on the surface of Earth. It was more black buildings, all colored with little lights everywhere. It was kind of beautiful, but it was also kind of disturbing at the same time, because what was weird about it is that we were here on Earth, but we're looking at things that are not from Earth. I mean, if you had just woken up there, you would be convinced that you were somewhere else. They built this here. Getting pushed off the land with our population only growing, they found themselves a great hiding place, and they built a world in which they could live. Pretty incredible, actually. Well, we get in just in time to see what direction the lounge is headed. And they didn't just start walking through the place on the ground. They had this small platform, and it had a stand with controls. Anyway, they all got on it, they get on this thing, and they start moving. This thing was like a big metal magic carpet with a controller. And all we could do is follow on foot, so we're kind of rushing at this point. And getting up close to the buildings that are in this place, again, you really get to see how big they are. The colored lights that seemed small, that were speckled all over the buildings, you get up to them and they're huge. The buildings are huge. And getting down into it, we see that some of the buildings are connected by walkways. And although we don't see anyone else walking around outside these buildings, we do see figures inside those walkways. I mean, they have air down here, yet there's no one walking around, literally no one, except for the lounge leaders that just got here. It's very quiet. And we're just thinking, you know, this is what they set up for themselves. And now they're all inside. I mean, we don't know anything about the place, but it seems like that's what they're doing. So it does seem kind of strange. But anyway, our lounge guys get up to another one of these black buildings and they go inside. And we don't follow them all the way in, but we see that when they get inside, they go through another door. And we don't follow them through that right away. We take a moment to look around. And when you first walk in, you can see that you're on a ledge, a really big one, but it is a ledge. There are a few small buildings up there, some plants and different things. And we go over to the ledge and look down, and then we see what's going on in this place. It's almost like they built outside on the inside. It's very colorful with greens and blues and pinks, and we see beings. They're all in their true form of green with their scales and their tails walking around and just doing their thing. Some are busying themselves by this stream. It's like a stream or brook that runs right down the middle of this place. And we hear the water trickling and we notice that it's coming in through this pipe that's in the wall. But anyway, this place is filled with lounge members. They're going in and out of buildings. They're just walking around. It would appear that they're just living on the inside of this thing. They're just going about their day. I really can't express to you the size of these things. They are very big. It's really like we walked into a whole new world. You can't see the other side of it or anything. Let's put it that way. They have flowers in there, plants in there, and there's lighting. It's all artificial, of course, provided by these large lighted spheres, but everything is neat and clean. And I have to hand it to these guys. This place is crazy. They've done a lot of work down here and brought a lot to an area of our planet that we ourselves can't even seem to get to and stay for really any length of time. And which we're noticing, by the way, at that time, that we're running out of time. So we don't have time to check out all the buildings and walk around and explore, really. But there is an entire world in here. And we were all given little cameras and little recording devices. So we do take some time to get some pictures of what's down there and what's in these buildings. It was pretty incredible. Well, while we're doing all of that, we then hear this popping, swooshing sound, and it's coming from one of these small house-like buildings that's on the ledge and off a little bit of ways from us. We duck behind some of the bushes that are there and we just wait to see what happens. And this light flashes and then the front door to this place opens. Three more lounge members that are all dressed in blue, like a royal blue, step outside of it. The one in front is female. We can't help notice that because when we were in California, it was a woman, a female being, that was in charge. We're starting to wonder if that's just the case for these guys. But anyway, they go through the same door the other lounge members went through. So we will also have to follow. But first, after they go in, we check out the building where we heard those sounds and where they came from. We get inside and it first seems like there's nothing. I mean, there's no furniture, there are no rooms, there's nothing. It's basically four walls, a roof, and a floor. But we do see, however, are some dissolving crystals, these colored crystals swirling just above the floor. And eventually, they dissolve into the air and they just disappear. And Jagger was able to quickly catch a picture of that, which was great. We don't know what it is, but we did get it on camera. And so now Frankie will stay where we are right then. He will stay by this house building, and Frankie and I will go through the door the lounge members went through. And when we get through there, it's a whole different story again. This room was very large, and it was black. The walls, the floor, all of it was black. It seems to be their color. And it was dark to boot. Not many lights, really. There weren't any lights on where we were. It looked like a very large space, but it wasn't all lit up, so we couldn't really see what all was going on. There was only one area that had a little bit of light above it. It was kind of far out a ways, so that's where we headed. And when we get over there, and as we get closer to the light, we start to realize what's around us, and we see that the walls are made of glass. I mean, I'm not sure how thick these things were or what they had going on with all of that, but they were made of glass, and we can see it's just ocean on the outside, water all around us. They have little lights above where these glass walls are, so you can see outside. Can't really see on the inside, though, but there's water everywhere. I mean, it made you feel a little bit uneasy, I have to say, because we need air to breathe, and if anything happens to these walls, which doesn't make you feel very good when they're just glass, you know, we could be in a lot of trouble. But we deal with it, though, and we head over to where this small group is, and they're all sitting together at this large round table. The woman in blue is standing, and she addresses the group and then pushes this button on the table, and this large screen comes up out of the table. And then Miss Blue walks over to a stand that's off to the side. It's not really far away, but it's not next to where they're meeting. And it sort of looks like it's computer equipment, although not equipment like we have. And she inserts some sort of crystal key into a slot on this thing. And it's something that she has hanging from her belt. And even she inserts it, and when she pulls it out, images start to appear on that screen above the table. She grabs a tablet-like thing off of that stand and then goes back over to the table where she takes a seat. One of the other members gets up just as she sits down, whispers something in her ear, and she just nods, and then this guy takes off. He heads back out of the room where Jagger is, and we're just hoping that Jagger catches whatever that is. We are there to gather information. We need everything we can get. Right now, at that moment, I am focused on that key that Miss Blue has hanging around her belt. They've now turned their lights down even lower so they can focus on the presentation. And so I just make a quick decision and decide that I'm just going to move in and grab that thing. Frankie stands back a ways, keeping watch. And I get up there, and the member to the right of her was really fidgety. I mean, they wouldn't sit still. So I had a couple of close calls, but then I'm able to just snip this key right off of Miss Blue's belt. We have no idea what it is or what it does, but she's the only one with one, and so it would appear that it might have something important on it, and we want it. And I mean, we're getting information, and we're feeling good about that, but we're not really getting the mother load that we feel like we should be getting, what we came there for. There's nothing really for us to stop. So, you know, we're looking around, and it starts to feel like we came a very long ways to not get a whole lot. This looks like a very important meeting, however, so there's got to be more we can get from this. And then we hear it. We hear Miss Blue say that what she's showing them illustrates their next phase of action. And that gets our attention. I mean, we were actually about to go back out to the colorful outside world of this place and check that out, but we stopped in our tracks and we waited. The minute she says it's their one and only copy, that really gets me going. Whatever is on this computer tower is something that we need. Miss Blue goes on to tell her group that as soon as they reach their current goals, this new phase will kick in. She says that with the merge underway and taking a stronger hold, they will be ready to start weakening our state and lowering our numbers. Her visuals show, and she explains, that for every one of our members of society, I'm talking about us, the humans here, that is merged with theirs, another one will be taken down and out. And this will double the effect of what they are doing. She goes on to explain that this is a crucial piece of their plan if they ever want a chance to get ahead with the little resources that they have. They need this. And therefore, she's tasking them all to reach their goals and quickly pick up their game. Now, whatever she's talking about doesn't sound good for us, and we need to get the information on what all this is. Somehow, I need to get over to that computer tower. I need to wipe it of all its information, or get all its information. And we don't really have the luxury of time. We don't know how long this meeting is, and we ourselves are running out of time. Now, I have a lot of computer knowledge. I have a lot of different computer equipment and things, but there's nothing I have that's going to work on what they have here. I don't have time to analyze what it is, and I can't just go in and download everything. So Frankie and I's plan is to actually just open up this tower and take what we can. We would work from behind. The tower's off to the side, like I said, and it's out of the light, you know, the little bit of light now that's shining down on their meeting table. So as long as we're quiet, we should be okay. And getting into it was actually no problem. It was what we had to do next that really got the adrenaline pumping. We were going to have to get this thing and gut it, basically. Take what we get and run. This was our only choice. Otherwise, we just leave now without having much. And since that's not really our style, there's nothing else to do but go for it. With Frankie by my side, we signal what parts we're each going to grab. We do a silent 1, 2, 3 count, and then we yank everything out of the tower. And the minute we do, the presentation shuts down. And all that's left is the one light above their circle meeting table. With our stuff in our hands, we get up and we run. And we find Jagger on the other side of the entrance, but we don't even get out of that area. We don't even get to the next door before we hear some kind of call as the meeting room door flies open, and then alarms start going off. We make it through our exit door, and just in time, because right when we get through, that door slams shut and locks. Remember, nothing was locked before. So now we're outside and we're back in the metal city. We're about to start running when we remember the magic carpet. So we throw our stuff down on it, and then we hear more banging behind us. The door to the black building flies open, and we hear the woman in blue calling out to us, telling us to stop. Now, I'm down on the floor of the red carpet, and I'm playing with the buttons. It's foreign to me. There's no on-off. There's no forward-backward. And they're running up to us now. And just as one of them grabs onto the magic carpet, I get it going. Frankie gets into a fight with one of the guys who's trying to grab onto our ride. And the guy's stronger than we would have anticipated, and he actually drags Frankie off of the magic carpet. Well, I'm learning more about the controls as we go, so I'm able to stop us from moving forward. And I stay with the ride and the equipment, and Jagger jumps off to go help Frankie. So now it's two guys on one. And let me tell you, the one guy on their side, he really put up a good fight. These guys are very strong. Well, Jagger starts to yell out for me to go, to get going, and he and Frankie are able to knock down the guy trying to stop us. And now there's even more guys coming after us. I don't question Jagger, though, and I just start going, and Frankie and Jagger start running after me. Jagger's still pushing me to keep going forward, even though, you know, it's kind of hard because your instinct is to stop and let them on, but I do keep going. They're in the position to know best of what they want me to do at this point, since I am the one with the travel vessel, so it's my job to listen to what they need. They do catch up, and so now we're all on our way, but we're not out of the woods. We get back to where the vessels are and that body of water inside that chamber, and I just dive right in, and I go over to the mini. I get inside as fast as I can, and I'm not thinking about anything else other than getting it started and going back for Jagger and Frankie. By the time I head over there, there are more members of the lounge starting to show up out on that platform. And Jagger and Frankie are backing up, you know, closer to the water. They have all the equipment in their hands. I get there just in time for them to jump in. So now we have the equipment, we have each other. We close the hatch and we take off. And we can only go so fast, but our advantage here is that we are positioned down lower than they are. And this was a great move by Thatcher's team, a great way to set it up, because the lounge will not expect this at first, and it will buy us some time. we expect they'll think that we're somewhere out where they are, not down below where they are. So even if they do see us by the time we're going up and away, we'll be ahead of them. So anyway, we move forward in the mini and we don't look back. We get back to the burrow, attach ourselves to it. We leave all the equipment inside and we stuff ourselves down into the burrow. And once we're all packed in, we take off. And now at that point, we only have the cameras outside of the burrow as any sort of view really into what's going on. And Frankie does see some lights off in the distance, but they don't seem to follow us. I mean, did we lose them? We can't be sure, and we'll never be sure. I mean, did they get pictures of us? Will they know who we are later? These are things we can't know. When we get to the surface, Thatcher's team is waiting for us, and we're out of the mini almost as fast as we popped up out of the water. We get back to base, and it's suddenly familiar. We've had meetings before, of course, but it's exactly what they were doing. I mean, we were sent out on our travels to come back with information, and that's exactly what the lounge was doing. Two groups against each other doing exactly the same thing. The equipment we brought back will take a while for their experts to figure out. That's not really for us to know or be concerned with. But from what we learned, what was on there was a plan to take things to another level in trying to get into our world and merge with us. And we relay to Thatcher that we did hear them say it was their only copy. Hopefully that's the case. Next up, we break out the video of the shimmering lights in that strange little house building. And to our surprise, that causes Thatcher even more concern than what's on the equipment at the moment. I can see it on his face. And then we move into the video that Jagger got outside of the black room when that one member left, if you remember. And this raises concerns for all of us, takes it all even further. Through a tiny window in this little house, Jagger was able to capture what happened on the inside. When the one member left, he went straight for that little house, put himself inside of it, and he too had a key of some kind that he inserted into the wall. And within seconds, he was sucked up by those glimmering crystals, and then he disappeared. This tells us only one thing. Not only did they escape their planet and come here to build a city, a hiding place where they can exist while planning their attack on us, there is something else out there, another somewhere, that they exist. What is inside that little house can't be anything else but a portal. But where does it go? Well, we don't know. But after we finish up our meeting at the base, we know one thing. If Thatcher really wants to get the leaders who are heading up this entire thing, someone is going to have to get through that portal. They're just going to have to. And this takes things to a whole new level for all of us. A level we know nothing about, really. What is out there? Where are they going? That's something we can't know for sure. Not this time around, anyway. And that really concluded our job that time with Thatcher in the Mariana Trench. This job took a lot of time and a lot of resources. And for them, it was years in the making just to be able to get down there, only to find that we as a people have even further to go. Somehow though, you know, starting all of this and going into this, Thatcher and we knew that it wasn't going to be easy. I mean, no one really thought that we were just going to be able to get down there, solve all the issues, figure out all the answers. But this was definitely unexpected. We turned over all of our information, and it was time for us to go. One thing that did make us feel better is that we got a follow-up from Thatcher. 6 months later, they were able to figure out and pull what was on that computer tower, what we pulled out of there. He wouldn't tell me exactly what the plan entailed because he explained that it just doesn't really help anyone to know about it. It only helps if we can solve it. And he wanted us to know that what we did put off this phase two. What we pulled had the entire architecture of what they planned to do, and it set them back for sure. What we did was not all for naught. Gathering intel like this and figuring out your enemy is never easy. We see that in our own life here on Earth. We think that problems can be solved quickly. If you know there's a problem, go fix it. You know, and we're talking world-sized problems, right? But it really takes a lot of time. Things are delicate, and there are a lot of moving parts. This was no different, and our obstacle is that they are from somewhere else. They are other beings. They don't think like us. They are not us. So all of that has to be figured out as well. Make no mistake, it's a very big deal to go down into the Mariana Trench. And no, we will not get the publicity or fame for doing it, but that's not really why we do anything that we do. There are much bigger issues at hand here. We did get the information and we gained insight into what they were doing, and it proved to us that they're still going strong. But we also learned some other things. I mean, these guys are very good with their technology as far as their spaceships and that beautiful city, but they couldn't understand. I mean, there's something to the human race. We are not robots. We are all individuals, yet we somehow flow together. The big thing here is that they don't understand the human factor. I mean, I can't explain it to anyone. It just is. It is who we are. But them not knowing is their one weakness, them not getting it. They can build gadgets and travel and do that all day long, but they don't understand how to infiltrate us. They are concerned with the merge and are taking it on as if it's just another task to complete. But they underestimate us. Without fully understanding us, they won't ever really know what we're up to or where we're at. And because of this, their goals may never be realized. But they will keep trying. And with every attempt, we will do the best we can to be there to try to stop them. Thank you for listening to this story about this job today. I appreciate you taking the time to be here with me this Friday, this weekend. Like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications if that's your thing. And until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.